Sam and Will. Alan Bennett was a frequent visitor to the household, and Jonathan Miller put in regular appearances too. Her adventures in London are forever captured in the fun-filled letters she sent back home to her sister, Vic. Nina agonizes over a Christmas present in today's letter.
Xmas 1983. Dear Vic, got a box of chocolates from Nunny for Xmas. Bright blue box with gold writing. I was really pleased with them. I liked the box and thought I could put something in it after the chocolates are gone. Something important and to be saved. Will liked it too, being a fan of boxes of chocolates. Sam thought a video would have been preferable. Later on at 57, I noticed the same type of box of chocolates sitting on their round table, and it came out that Nunny had got the same, but smaller, for the Tomalin's lodger, Susan, pretty, clever, booky from Budmouth. Turns out they're quite pally. This completely ruined my box of chocolates and I felt dejected. One small consolation being that hers was a lot smaller than mine. Told Mary Kay the whole thing and how I was feeling, which I wouldn't normally do in quite so much detail. MK. Dejected? What does that mean? Me. Annoyed. MK. Why? Me. Well, he's bought the same for her at 57, but smaller. MK. Shocked. For Claire? Me. No. For Susan, the lodger. MK. Oh, well, your box was bigger. He likes you more. Then a thought occurred. Maybe he's going to ask Susan the lodger to read Seamus Heaney selected poems with me. She's the type. Thing is, I quite liked Susan before Nunny bought her the same chocolates. But now, I don't so much and even feel a bit angry. Mostly, I'm annoyed to have been manoeuvred into this pathetic position. One, I don't like chocolates that much, particularly not ones in boxes. Two, I don't care who anyone buys chocolates for and people can just do what they want. Three, but if someone buys me chocolates as an affectionate thing, then they shouldn't buy the same for someone else. Four, or they shouldn't let me find out. I might have to go Mardy about it in order to avoid the offer of literary help from someone I now dislike. Said to Willie could have my box of chocolates, but he said not to drag him into it and just took the truffles. Everyone's raving about AB's Englishman Abroad, about the spy. To be honest, I didn't think much to it. On the other hand, Nunny has given S and W a video of Faulty Towers, which is fantastic. Love, Nina. Hi, Vic. Parked in the Tomalin's disabled spot very briefly. Found bossy note under the windscreen wiper from Nunny. I thought the note might be a want to go to the movies note. So I was annoyed when it was a telling off for parking in their spot. Next day, I put a photograph of Nunny on the toilet under Claire Tomalin's windscreen wiper. Nunny is cross about it and has refused to tell me what happened, i.e. did Claire find it? Or did he see it there and manage to remove it? Me, what happened? Nunny, I'm not indulging you. Me, did Claire find it? Nunny, can you just not do stuff like that? Me, it's funny. Nunny, it's not. This is the problem. To me, it is funny. The bawdy nurse in Romeo and Juliet isn't funny. The wife of Bath isn't particularly funny. But a photograph of Nunny on the toilet is. Especially when it's on the windscreen of the Volvo of the literary editor of the Sunday Times. Preparing for interview at North London Poly. Can't have a training session with Nunny because of our row over the photograph of him on the toilet. I don't feel like apologising. So had preparation session with Mary Kay. Me. I'll have to pretend to admire Shakespeare and like Hardy. MK, just be yourself, but don't wear that green thing. Me, I don't want to blow it by looking like a Philistine. MK, just talk about the plays you've read, a bit. Me, okay. I just hope they don't ask me about Queen Mab or the bawdy nurse. MK, the rule is, prepare for it and it won't happen. Which is what happened. I was all ready to talk about Queen Mab and the bawdy nurse, etc. But the only thing the bloke asked me about the syllabus was, how does Hardy make you feel? I was tempted to say annoyed and bored, but said, insignificant. I think it went down very well. We'll see. Love, Nina. Dear Vic, great day. Had my interview at Thames Polytechnic with a tutor called John Williams. I slipped in about Hardy making me feel insignificant early on, which turned out to be unnecessary because we had a proper chat. I said I was beginning to worry about actually passing the A-level because of not loving the syllabus and never doing exams before. JW said it's not all about the grade, but about you, me. And some of the best students ever come from non-traditional backgrounds. They get all sorts of losers there by the sound of it. Love, Nina. Dear Vic, Holborn Library to return the LP of the bloke reading Chaucer's Canterbury Tales excerpts in the Old English. Librarian took LP off me and looked impressed, did a little nod of approval. Librarian, did you enjoy the recording? Me, yes, I've made a cassette of it. Librarian, suddenly angry. You've done what? Me, made a cassette. Librarian, that's illegal. Me, oh, sorry, I'll throw it away. Librarian, looking at LP. I'm afraid there's a fine on this. It was due back some time ago. The annoying thing is, she was about to ignore the lateness when I mentioned the cassette, and that angered her in a possessive way, and she pressed charges. It's not done my relationship with Chaucer any good at all. Later, Sam and Will wanted to clear out the shed so they can have a yard sale. They've seen one on the telly where this kid makes a fortune. The shed is the size of a wardrobe. Found two fishing nets, can of floor polish, bike, small, and the miller's saw, the one we borrowed last Xmas. Took saw inside to show Mary Kay. Me. Look. MK. What, are you off to do something awful in Holborn Library? Me. No, it's the miller's saw. Someone should take it back. I took it back. Me. This is your saw. JM. Oh, thank you. Me. We borrowed it last December. JM. Yes, I remember. Well, thanks for bringing it back. Me. Sorry it's taken so long. JM. That's all right. I'm sure we'd have hollered if we needed it. Back at 55. MK. What did they say about the saw? Me. Jonathan said to tell you never to ask to borrow anything off him again. MK. Was there a fine? Love, Nina. Dear Vic, Thames Polytechnic has sent me an offer. Unconditional. Me. It means the whole A-level thing has been pointless. MK. How? Me. I could have just applied and gone anyway. MK. But this way you've learned how to study before you go. Me. I suppose so. Nunny is really pleased about the unconditional offer. Me. At least I've learned to study before I go. Nunny. Well, I wouldn't go that far. Been doing some practice papers for the exams. It's not the same without the anxiety. I'd left the Seamus Heaney, Selected Poems 1965 to 1975, till last, because of Nunny not being keen. Now I look at it, it's the best thing, the only really good thing on the syllabus. Mary Kay said I'd like it and I'd regret leaving it till last, and I do. Seamus Heaney. I've got to you at last, your clotted water and Irish air, your dad and his dad and your scruffy hair. But I'm on my own with you, no help. Struggling in muddy lines, you in your duffel coat, smiling with a field behind. You're not like Hardy, though some stuff's the same. But what do you mean, in summer home? Why was the rhododendron to blame? That's my poem for Seamus Heaney. I wrote it in 5 mins. What I'm saying is, I like you, but you're a challenge. Love, Nina. Dear Vic, dreading exams, as I haven't got to grips with the Seamus Heaney. And the rest of the syllabus is too unbearable to even think about. Why do people like Shakespeare? I wish I did. I've tried, but I don't. Maybe you need a jokey teacher to bring it to life. Nunny has kept saying I made a big mistake in focusing on the Hardy when I would have enjoyed the Heaney. MK has said exactly the same thing. I reminded Nunny it was him who rejected the Heaney at the outset. More bad news. Washing machine was sticking on the main wash and not moving on. AB suggested it was something to do with the water not heating up to the target temperature and therefore not moving on to the next part of the cycle. It's amazing how much AB knows about appliances when you consider he's a writer and pretty much just writes all day. Me, you're good with appliances. AB, proud. Well, I don't know about that. Me, you sorted out the car, the fridge, the phone, bike tyres, and now the washing machine. AB, I don't think I'm particularly good. MK, but it's nice to know you've got something to fall back on. Anyway, it's fixed now. A bloke came round and it was what AB said, temperature thing. Love, Nina. He was really saying something. Dear Vic, Nunny home from his time hitchhiking across France/Spain. He's had a very nice time and keeps going on about it. He told me about going to Pamplona and how a chubby woman, aroused by the charging bulls or tomatoes or whatever they have there, had very forcefully tried to have sex with him, but he'd resisted her advances. He also mentioned about a bloke and another couple of women making advances in cars while he was hitchhiking, and described how he skillfully and tactfully resisted their advances. I asked why he thought he was so popular and desirable all of a sudden. He said it's the same wherever he is. He's come back wearing espadrilles. Not sure about them, in general, or on him. Love, Nina. P.S. He enjoyed Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. Apparently, the book was very attractive to women, who often approached him to talk about the great English writer and ended up buying him a beer. Postcard. Dear Vic, France. Sam and me shared a tiny room on the train, bunk beds. It was brilliant. Sam listened to Sherlock Holmes cassettes on his Walkman, lucky Sam, and I could tell it was exciting. I borrowed it as soon as he'd finished and wished I hadn't. Really spooky. Couldn't sleep in my little bunk bed. A bit scared. Sam got fed up with me trying to chat and ended up shouting at me to shut up and let him go to sleep. I felt quite proud of him. Love, Nina. August. Nunny rang me in France with A-level result. I was shocked. I knew I hadn't done very well, but an E is really bad. Nunny says it's a pass, and that's fantastic, considering. But it's the worst pass you can get, except for a plain pass with no letter. Told Mary Kay and Co. I got a C. Sometimes you just have to lie, and I had to, because the result came while I was at MK's house in France, and loads of her mates were there, eating basil and speaking French. I couldn't say, oh yes, I passed, I got an E. Even saying a C sounded bad enough. Apart from the E, France was great. The house is lovely. Thick walls, stone floors, and melons growing in fields along the roads. Sam listening to his Walkman and singing along to Scoop by Pete Townsend, including I Just Wanna Be Popular, which he does and is. Loads of fresh herbs. One day, we only had green beans for lunch, and another day, just a salad and bread. Love, Nina.
Rebecca Staton was reading Love, Nina, Dispatches from Family Life by Nina Stibbe. The book was abridged by Penny Laster and produced by Gemma Jenkins. Now, here's sailing by ahead of the shipping forecast. Now on BBC Radio 4, it's time for the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Thursday, the 26th of December. There are warnings of gales in Viking, North Otsera, South Otsera, Forties, Cromarty, Forth, Portland, Plymouth, Biscay, Fitzroy, Sole, Lundy, Fastnet, Irish Sea, Shannon, Rockall, Malin, Hebrides, Bailey, Fair Isle, Faroes, and Southeast Iceland. The general synopsis at 1800. Atlantic low 982, moving rapidly northeast, expected 150 miles west of Rockall 947 by 1800 Thursday. Low 300 miles east of Iceland 948, moving away slowly northeastwards. The area forecasts for the next 24 hours. Viking, North Otsera, South Otsera, Forties, Cromarty, Forth. Southwest.